Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a tremendous, I'm not going to say a tremendous year, but I'm going to say we have had a tremendous 6 months. I tell you, we have done some incredible things. But let me talk about the emergency manager here in the city of Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor is one of the first cities in Michigan subjected to the Public Act 4, which allowed the state to take over the running of the city and the removal of the elected officials of Benton Harbor. You see, we have been fighting this for over 2 years now, and we have finally got a major victory. The Supreme Court ruled on Friday morning that Public Act 4 must go on the ballot. The 226,000 signatures, the 203 good ones, spoke loud and clear. What we did, we told them what we was capable of doing, and we did it. There was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We went out and did what we have to do, or what we had to do. We made sure that they understood how important this thing is. But this is just half the battle. Now, this is important. We have to get the people to the polls. We have to make sure they get there. Here in the state of Michigan, you have to have a picture ID. If you do not have a picture ID, please contact me, Reverend Edward Pinckney, at 269-925-0001. Let me repeat. The Supreme Court ruled on Friday morning that the EM will have to pack up and leave. I've been talking about this EM for months, and we have finally got a major victory here. I don't even know how to tell you how happy I am about this victory. It's a major victory because they're going to use their influence and their money to try to do everything they can to make sure Public Act, the supporters of Public Act, win this battle. But we won. We won this half of the battle. But this is only the first half. So let me say this to everybody. Let's get ready and do something constructive. Let's listen to a little Malcolm X.
This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless. Because other countries have atomic bombs. when two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to earth. And there's more black people on earth than there are white people. I only got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of background victory are over. Can I prove it? Yes. Take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race eaters ran him out of Korea. Yes, they ran him out of Korea. Race eaters with nothing but gym shoes and a rifle and a bowler rack. Took him and his tanks and his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, race growers, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember Dien Bien Phu? No. The same thing happened in Algeria, in Africa. They didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare. But they put some guerrilla action on them. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to tell everybody that we had a tremendous victory on Friday at 12:01 a.m. The Supreme Court Justice Mary Bath said that Public Act 4 is suspended, that all the EMs have to pack up and get out of town. That is the best news we have had. I've been fighting this for you, well, not just me now. We're not going to say just Reverend Pinckney. There have been many, many, many other people fighting. And we've been winning, and we've been fighting together. And this is what I'm talking about. When people stand together, we can win some of these battles. Until we decide that we're going to fight together, work together, we're going to continue losing. But this is a major victory. This is something that everybody needs to talk about. And I think that it's time that we start taking this thing to a whole different level. But on that note, after hearing the Supreme Court rule in our favor, we don't get many victories in the Supreme Court. But in this case, we got a major victory by a vote of 4-3 that the EM, the emergency manager, will no longer live in the city of Benton Harbor. And on that note, let me bring in Ralph Pointer, my dear friend, a truly, truly soldier, a revolutionary, a guy that had his credentials speak for itself. And I tell you, I can only tell you what I know and what I have seen, and what I have seen of this man is tremendous. He is a perfect example of what a revolutionary guy should be. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Well, Reverend, I'm here, and I'm listening to you, and I thank you, but as you said, we don't get many victories, and you are the architect of a victory here. So let's talk about Reverend Pinckney turning them around. Now we must also have a grain of salt. Now, this Supreme Court of Michigan, as I understand it. Reverend.
Yes, I'm here.
Is this the Supreme Court of Michigan or
yes.
The federal? You see, they're going to go back to court on that.
Oh no! It's a done deal.
It's a
matter
done
of fact,
deal.
They have ordered. Here's the deal: they have ordered the state, the Secretary of State, the canvas board, to put it on the ballot. All we're doing now is working on the wording, the correct wording. But I told them the word that we're going to use is the word that we signed the petition. But they said that they tried to alter it, the Governor Snyder and his little group. So it will not go to the federal court. It's going to stay right here in Michigan. So we're looking at this as a major victory for the people.
For the people of Michigan. That is fantastic. That is more than fantastic. Because, as you said, you've been working on this with other people for years. And let us hope that this decision will reverberate throughout this country. Because, you know, they didn't just have one emergency manager. They trained, what was that, 130 of them?
They trained 250, and 172 was qualified to move in right away.
Okay, so now they didn't do it for Bettenhauber. So everyone else has to take their lesson from the work that you and others have done and duplicate it around the country, because as you have said over and over again, the emergency managers are coming to you next. And you have made a major blow against those who would take over without, you know, this is taking over without putting smoke on it. They have put smoke on taking over, or as Cynthia McKinney said, hijacking our government. They have hijacked the government in many ways, but they put smoke on it. And one of the ways that they hijacked the government was by giving corporations personhood and allowing them to buy elections. And by allowing corporations to buy elections, it becomes an international thing because corporations do not stop at the border.
That's right. Absolutely.
Corporations are international money. So the international money has bought or has hijacked the American government. And you, with your efforts, have said, no, the buck stops here. We're not going to allow the corporations and your fight with Whirlpool and bringing them to a standstill, lowering their corporate bonds almost to junk bonds. And this is tremendous what you have done. But it's one of those things where we cannot sit back and savor and enjoy the victory because we know they're going to keep on coming. And we have to keep on keeping on developing organizations and remembering, most important, remembering who got us this far and who brought the victory. Because so often when you win a victory, it is given away by forgetful people who forget. It wasn't the Democratic Party who brought that. It wasn't the Republican Party who brought this. This was Reverend Pinckney out in Benton Harbor saying, protect your community, stop the corporation, stop Whirlpool, stop the PGA, stop the NAACP, stop the union, stop everybody that gets in the way of your just way of living, gets in the way of your ability to make a living. And so, Reverend, my hat's off to you.
Hey, but here's the deal. Ralph, I got more good news. I don't know whether you can handle any more good news because this is tremendous. There has been a shakeup in the chain of command of Whirlpool. You remember I told you about this guy, Marcus Robinson, who tried to engineer the hostile takeover of the NAACP, where he went out and paid people to give them a free membership, long as they come and vote against me.
Uh-huh.
Also, he did everything he could to stop Occupy the PGA.
Right.
Well, Whirlpool had fired him.
Oh.
And that ain't all. The president, the president of Cornerstone Alliance, which is another subdivision of Whirlpool.
Yes.
The president of Cornerstone Alliance. Fired. They saying they're allowing her to resign. So, you know, anytime you hear that somebody, we're allowing you to resign or you're doing this, we know you got fired. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
and
it's
look, this the shakeup is so big and so thick that I tell you, it would take the whole show to talk about this. But I just want you to know about this guy, Marcus Robinson and Wendy Del Chessa. They're gone. They're no longer there, and we want to know who's next.
Right.
But that's enough about Benton Harbor. I want to talk about Lynn.
Oh,
that's
right.
Who I want to talk about.
You see, she's in a position where we cannot communicate. And one of the things that I had said that I would do is to talk about why. Why are they doing this to Lynn Stewart? And one of the things she said to me is, I know why I do the things that I do, and I know that the government is going to respond in a vicious manner, as they always do to justice, and not only to Lynn Stewart, but to anybody who does justice, like yourself. We know that they will slander you, they will put you in prison, they will stop you from working, they will blacklist you, and as I say, I call it whitelisting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they keep us, and they've been keeping us from working and enjoying the fruits of our labor ever since we came here in 1619 as slaves. And even when slavery was supposedly over, they brought in a new form of slavery, that is the prison system and the miseducation system, and now the war on drugs, the war on poverty. All of these wars have never been anything but a euphemism for a war on us. So we have been never enfranchised, and when we think we're enfranchised, we become disenfranchised. They won't allow us to participate in this government on an equal footing. So therefore, this struggle continues, and it continues with people like Lynn Stewart, who, when she first understood it, what was happening, she started fighting against it. And as a person who speaks out and who has a history, a long history of fighting against oppression, she was fighting against the oppression of Muslims based on their religion. She defended the blind sheikh, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, who was fighting against the corrupt leader in Egypt, the corrupt president who only ran against himself for over 30 years. You couldn't run for president in Egypt. He was the dictator of Egypt. And Sheikh Omar fought against him, and the American government put him in jail to protect Hosni Mubarak, who now has been overthrown in Egypt. And Lynn defended the blind sheikh. And when this question was up in the air as to whether the dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak was going to survive, they jailed the blind sheikh and they jailed Lynn Stewart. And Lynn Stewart is in Fort Worth, Texas, at Carswell Federal Medical Prison. And one of the things she says, I am here not only because of the blind sheikh, but because of my 30 years of service to the black community, the Latino community, the indigenous community here, the poor community of America, the enemies, or the people that this government has made enemies. And as a person in prison with legal skills, there are many regulations, listen to this, that prevent the people who didn't have access to legal skills on the outside from getting access to legal skills on the inside. Now, one of the things that I don't know if our audience or your audience would know is that they have decimated the law libraries in the prisons. Now, you would think that this was where people who didn't have access to lawyers would have law libraries or access to computers where they could work on their own cases. Not so. The government has discontinued the law libraries. They have discontinued access to the law libraries, and they certainly don't want a lawyer of the status of Lynn Stewart helping the inmates in the prison. Well, you could imagine that position she is in. And they have all of these little regulations. You cannot have the papers of another inmate in your possession. Well, how are you going to help a person if you can't get the papers? And as she says, as you know, Ralph, I don't have office hours in prison. I am a prisoner. I move with the prisoners when, where, and how they say to move. So she gets snippets of moments to help people with their papers. But if she's caught with the papers, This was the first time they censured her. She got caught with another inmate's papers. To do what? To read them and help the inmate. So they slapped her wrist. This time, she memorialized the service of papers. Service means you send papers to the court. She sent papers to one of the circuit courts, but she is not an attorney. The inmate has to send the papers that she helps them with under the inmate's name to the circuit court. But Lynn says, we're in prison here, and prison mail is lost. The prisoners have a section. They work in the prison post office. So sometimes mail gets lost. So in order to preserve the record, Lynn sends me a copy of the papers that the inmate sends to the court. So that if somebody says those papers were never sent, we can look and say, well, such and such a date I received such and such papers from such an inmate to the court, and here it is in black and white. So they censured her for it. 45 days, no phone calls, 45 days, no commissary, 45 days, no visits, and so our communications are broken off. And but I know that after the 45 days come up, I believe they'll be up in September 9th, I will tell her of the good news. So you see that Lynn is in jail. She was there because she represented the poor and oppressed, and she says the major number of people in the prisons are poor black and Latino women who wouldn't be there if they had decent legal representation. So she says it just saddens her to meet people 34, 35 years old who have been in jail more than half of their lives, and she said if they had a decent attorney, they wouldn't be there. And so she's working on these cases, and she says it's going to come back to haunt America, all of these women in jail. It destroys their family. It destroys their children. And this, you know, the barbarians are at the gates, and they have been created here by this government. And she says, first it hurts the families, it hurts the children, and it's going to come back to haunt this government. So she works as a humanitarian on these cases, as a political person, as a human person who wants to alleviate suffering by using her skills, and they punish her for it. And so this is the Lynn Stewart, you know, that we talk about on this program. And I tell you, I feel for her. She's a woman of 73 years old, and they don't arrest her just because she's 73 years old. They arrest her because of the work she has done for the oppressed people all of her life. And I just say I wish that there was something I could do, but I guess, Reverend, you're doing it. When you bring her case to the attention of the public, this makes people understand what this American government is about. And she always says, listen, do not feel sorry for me, because as a white woman in America, her ancestors are English and Irish, Swedish and German. She says she has enjoyed the skin privilege, and she admits to skin privilege. If you're white in America, you have privilege. And she says she has enjoyed that educationally, socially, and politically all her life, and she doesn't mind putting a little back. That's why we call her the John Brown of her age.
That's so right.
Lynn is there, and the moment that I am able to talk to her, I will certainly say that they're hurting us all over, but Reverend Pinckney and his people and our people have a victory that we are going to savor out here, and I will savor the moments that I'm waiting to be able to tell her, well, it's not all bad news.
Absolutely. You know one thing, Ralph? This is tremendous. I mean, we keep getting these little bitty victories, and they're going to add up to a major victory. And I just want to thank you for hanging in there. Thank Lynn. Thank Betty. Thank everybody for really, really standing strong with us. But, Ralph, I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of the show so you can say something else about it so people don't forget. But I got to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I want to thank you, thank Ralph Porter, and all our guests who tuned in to listen and share, and what a wonderful victory for Benton Harbor. And I just want to start out where the COINTELPRO cut me off last week. You know, COINTELPRO cuts me off sometimes when I'm about to make a point. And I was going to make an important point, Reverend, last week, and they cut me off. And that was that you and the listening audience can participate in the struggle that Lance Stewart carried forth, and that is to help. You can carry forth the struggle that Reverend Pinckney has dedicated his life to, and that is helping the oppressed. You can participate, and this is the work of God. Now, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't even have to be a religious person at all. But this is the work of Christ. Christ said that we are to be a voice to the voiceless and to help those who are condemned to death. He said that in Proverbs 31:8-9. Now, last week when COINTELPRO cut me off, I was about to tell you how you can participate in these struggles and in these victories. You can write to Reverend Edward Pinckney. His address is 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan. The zip code is 49022. Again, please write and send your offering, your donation, to the project of spreading justice throughout America. Write this week. Don't leave the radio. Don't leave wherever you're sitting until you write a check. $5, $10, $10,000. Some churches are not involved in the real work of Christ. Jesus was a man on this earth, and of course we know that he's Lord of Lords, but I'm going to tell you about the man Jesus. He is against capital punishment. He is against victimizing people for gain. He is against all those things. You know it, and I know it. And if your church is not participating, ask them, look, missionary, let's raise a special offering for Reverend Pinckney, who is doing the work of God. That address is 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And Reverend Pinckney understands that back in the 60s, you know, a lot of people are saying that we're going to march and we're going to protest like the people did in the 60s and wounded Jim Crow. No, he's not dead, but he was wounded. And the way it was done was not simply by protesting. They also boycotted. Please, don't forget, boycotts are very effective because people care about money. And the other thing that was done is that they united under one banner, and that was to spread democracy, to spread the idea that no man is better than another man. So you need unity, and you need to have financial impact on whatever system it is that you want to see fall. You have to boycott. And so Reverend Pinckney and many other people boycotted Whirlpool, and I believe some people in the audience participated in that. And now, I want to clarify, EM, that means emergency manager. The city of Benton Harbor, all of the official people there who were in duly elected positions were more or less laid off, fired, terminated. And an emergency manager, in other words, the dictator, was appointed by the governor to be the end-all of government in that area. What the dictator did was took public lands and made it for the rich, and he also did many objectionable things. And you can follow this fight on BH Banco, B-A-N-C-O, online, B-A-N-C-O. Now, Lance Stewart you heard about her, and please go back and listen to former tapes on Reverend Pinkney Show and listen about Lynn Stewart. She is a political prisoner in Texas, a 73-year-old lady who is a great humanitarian, and she is in prison right now for her stance against injustice in America and back America to other people. And her, you can go to her website, that's LynnStewart.org. Now, I want to say that Texas is getting ready to execute a man on Tuesday, a mentally ill man. My name is Mary Neal. I am the founder and director, I'll say co-director, but actually COINTELPRO has taken over. But I am the co-director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I want you to know that it's time out for all of these candlelight vigils when they're getting ready to execute people who are potentially innocent or the mentally ill, because that is against the Constitution, according to the United States Supreme Court. Now, when people get ready to break the law and execute the mentally ill, once they execute this man, don't just blow out your candles and go home and wait on next time, because there will forever be a next time as long as that is all we do. We need to sue the state of Texas after the execution of Marvin Wilson. Sue the state of Texas. Help his family to sue the state of Texas. Or taxpayers can get together and sue because they bought the poison with your money. So sue the state of Texas. We've got to start hitting them in the pocket. Make executions too expensive. Every time they execute a person in any of these death penalty states who is mentally ill or who is potentially innocent, you need to sue. Start hitting them in the pocket. Protest alone will not work. And the third thing I want to say is we have a gentleman, a young man who was possibly murdered by police, and that's in Arkansas, Jonesboro, Arkansas. His name was Chavis Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. Chavis Carter was searched twice by police. He was handcuffed, and he was double-locked inside a police car. And they say that he shot himself. He committed suicide, double-locked in a police car after being searched twice and handcuffed with his hands behind his back. He nevertheless managed to magically have a weapon. He magically shot himself in his right temple, although he was left-handed. Now, we've got to strike these Houdini lies down. That man would have to be greater than the great Houdini to do such a thing. We thank God that due to the protest online, the FBI is going to investigate the murder of Chavis Carter. Now, Denver, Colorado, has a similar incident. They arrested a black man, and this all happened this past week, and this man in the back of the police car in Denver, and the police shot him, and they admit they shot him, and they say the reason they shot him is because he attacked the police who were driving the car. He slipped out of his handcuffs. Now, this is a new lie that police have going, saying that black men have the spirit of Houdini, and they get out of handcuffs, and lies, then nobody is safe. Not black people, not white people, not Latino people, not Asians. Nobody who's been placed in prison will be safe from being shot by police if they let that lie fly that they're getting out of handcuffs and attacking police, or getting out of their handcuffs and shooting themselves. We don't want the USDOJ to just investigate Carter Chavis. That's Chavis Carter's murder. We want them to investigate that lie in Denver, and we also would appreciate them investigating all 125 extrajudicial killings of black people since January 2012. 125 extrajudicial killings. That's by police officers and people working under the color of law have been killing black people. This is genocide. 125 just since January 1. So don't just pick out one case to speak against Mr. President, like you did about the young man who was killed in Florida. Don't just pick out one case, Mr. Eric Holder, to investigate, like Chavis Carter. We want you to please know that this is going on wholesale. It's open season on black people in America, and we want you to please assemble a special task force and investigate all 125 murders, deaths, police, including the death of Mr. Chamberlain, a 68-year-old black man whose light alert went off. And I guess the police were irritated, and they broke into his house, even though he was saying on tape. And you can look up on YouTube, he was saying, "I'm all right. It's just my light alert went off. Please leave." But they broke in his house, and they beat him, tased him, and shot him. These things happen in America. And I want to thank Reverend Pinckney for doing all that he's done to make it possible for us to raise our collective voices against all of this injustice. Right. And we want to thank and remember Liz Stewart for dedicating her profession as a lawyer. She wasn't working for the big corporation.
You're
still there? Hello. Okay. Listen. Let me move on. I'm gonna give you a few minutes at the end of the show. So just hold on with me, okay? Just bear with me. Yeah, Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Pinckney. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, it's really bad down here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney. You know, like I told you the last time I called you that, you know, you came down here and spent some time with us that, you know, Katrina told the real story about how bad it really is down here, you know, when people had to die waiting to be rescued.
Go ahead.
These people are, you know, I never seen nothing like it before. I cannot believe that we're in the 21st century and we're dealing with the racism and discrimination, I mean, to the highest form. You know, it's so sad the way people are being railroaded and jacked up through the justice system down here, that people are still practicing the kangaroo court. And they're basically doing whatever they want to do down here. They're taking the law to abuse people and just a blatant attack against human beings, period.
Wow. You know one thing, Belinda, I truly understand what you're saying because I was there. I was there. I was an eyewitness. Matter of fact, I even had the opportunity to court watch down there for 2 weeks, which I tell you was an eye-opener. I thought Barron County was bad.
But let me tell you what happened, though, Pastor Pinckney, on Friday. We had planned a mass protest, a mass rally to demonstrate a peaceful, you know, demonstration at the courthouse, the one that you went to and you was able to observe that we didn't have any black judges there. We don't have minorities employees that work, you know, maybe just a handful of, you know, just a few people, maybe no black clerks, no black judges, and maybe just a few people that, you know, clean up or whatever, secretaries or whatever in that courthouse. But, you know, we decided that we were going to have a mass protest on the courthouse steps on Friday, August the 3rd. And let me tell you, Pastor Pinckney, you know, it was totally unbelievable. They have never seen nothing like that. The people showed up, and we began to begin our protest. We started off with prayer and calling on God to hear our cry about the injustice that's taking place here in Louisiana. And as we began, we went on, and then they began to harass us and telling us, literally the police officer, one of the sheriff's deputies came out, and this is what he said in his own words. We got it on videotape. He said, "Get off of my land. Get off of my land." And we said, well, we have the right, you know, our constitutional rights to have a peaceful protest. He said, "Not here. You don't have no permission to be here whatsoever. Get off of my land or we're going to call for backup and everybody's going to be arrested."
So he was doing that to try to intimidate you. That's the first tool they use. They think that black folks are so afraid of going to jail that they don't know what to do. But I'm glad y'all stood y'all ground. Go right ahead.
Well, we stood our ground, but, you know, as we begin to organize, to line up, to march the people off of the courthouse premises, they began to attack. You know, we had a freelance photographer that was taking pictures of all the people lining up and begin to march off of the property. And they began to harass and badger him to give the camera, to give them his camera. And he, you know, he basically, you know, hollered out for someone to come and get the camera, which I was able to, you know, to grab the camera. And they placed him under arrest and charged him with
trespassing
and
refusing to leave.
To leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else they charged him with?
What'd you say?
Is there anything else they charged him with?
They charged him. It was two charges. One of them, it was, I think they charged him with resisting arrest and something else we never heard of. It had something to do with him not agreeing, a refusal to leave.
Wow.
They have some type of made-up term for it that we never heard before.
Mm-hmm. Mm, but we'll be ready for them. We're going to make sure that we do the things that need to be done, and we need to put this out about Louisiana, because I have another lady on the line from Louisiana that she's going to say a few words also. Then I got to get to Roz, but I got to tell you
they
this.
They literally made up charges. They make up stuff here on people.
Right.
And the sad thing about it is that we need to expose it to the whole world about what they're doing here. They got people so afraid here to
uh-huh.
People are scared to come out of their houses. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, it is awful here. It's unbelievable about the corruption and the injustice that's taking place here in the state of Louisiana. And I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, something got to be done about this. Something has to be done now. We need justice now. We went there to have a protest against injustice, and we witnessed it. We witnessed the injustice that was taking place here in the state of Louisiana because they wanted to place all of us under arrest. They came out, and I'm telling you, they called for backup, and they stood their ground, and they circled us, and they barricaded us to leave that privacy. And had we not left at the time we did, we would have had children and mothers and fathers and business peoples and teachers and doctors and everybody arrested there that day.
Well, you know what? I'm going to come down there, and we're going to give them another opportunity because I know what they can do and what they can't do. And I know that, you know, before we get started, we're going to set up a meeting with that sheriff. But, Belinda, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on. But
you know, right, Pastor Pinckney, when you came down here, you told us to fight back. You
That's
said
right.
Fight back. And we are fighting back, Pastor Pinckney, and we're not going to stop fighting until we get justice here in the state of Louisiana. We want the whole world to know how we are suffering here, how we are hurting, how our children are being attacked. They're being hijacked with the court system down here. They're using the law, Pastor Pinckney. They're making up their own laws to put the ropes around our necks. And I'm telling you, we are hurting here, and we need all the help we can get.
Well, Belinda, one thing for sure, that we're not going to take that mess. I'm going to get down there again, and we're going to bring them same judges back, and we're going to have a conference with them. But look, Belinda, I got to go on, but I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end to say whatever you want, okay? Just hang
okay.
in there. God bless you
All
now.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How
are you
doing
this evening?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm about the same, but it
well,
could be worse. It can always be worse.
See, one thing, you're not the only person in Louisiana that's having all kind of problems. See what
yes,
I'm saying?
I had spoke with Ms.
Belinda.
Brown.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I contacted her. You know, you had told me to contact her, and I contacted her.
Okay.
And we talked and everything, but it's everything that she's saying and more. And she had told me that about, you know, trying to get some people from this parish.
Mm-hmm.
I think she told me about 50 people if I could get them.
Yeah.
But that's, I ain't going to say it's impossible, but that's like chasing down a lion and pulling his teeth.
These people are afraid. Not only afraid, they just don't want to do nothing.
And,
see, most of the time, people don't want to do nothing until something happens to them. Then they
exactly.
want you to drop everything you're doing and help them.
Exactly, Reverend Pinkney. And then they'll say, oh, I see what you mean now. You know,
yeah.
when it happens, I see what you mean. You
mm-hmm.
was right. You know, but that is the kind of climate in this parish. It's me and another lady. And about two others. But other than that, everybody's silent.
Mm.
And I'm talking about ministers. You know, ministers. And I mean, we have, we have a lot of ministers in this parish.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other parish. Because these two judges and this district attorney governs, I mean, for us, the courts, both of the parishes. And a lot of these people are, like I said, are afraid. A lot of them are just in their comfort zones. The other ones are like favored out, you know, like, oh, he did me a favor. He canceled a traffic ticket for me, and you know, stuff like that.
I know exactly what you're saying.
It's sickening.
But you know one thing, Catherine, we just got to keep speaking out, and. I'm on my way down there. I got to go. Here's what I got to do. I got to go to California, and I got to
right.
go to Atlanta.
Right.
Then
right.
When I get through with that, I'm going to be back in Louisiana, and I'm planning on staying a little while so we can straighten some of that, because I'm going to meet with the judges in your area too. We met with the judges in the Covington area, and it worked out pretty good, but it's not going to work out until the people stand up and say, this is no good, or this is not going to happen. Until that happens, we're going to be in the same compromising position. And you know what? And what I'm going to do for you, I am going to, Belinda know how to get in touch with this guy named Ron Caesar. And what we're going to do, we're going to work as a team. We're going to network until we can get there so we can do something. But I got to – you got about 30 seconds. Say whatever you want, I'll give you a few minutes at the end. Go right ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say is the only thing that could – I mean, I wouldn't say thwarted, but stave off or stay – some of the things that has occurred with my son and for me is an investigation.
Yes. Yes.
And, because a lot of times...
You are absolutely correct.
Let me say this
before you go on. I talked with a guy from the University of Loyola there in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Ted, I talked to him again this morning. He gave me a few ideas that he wanted to try, but I want to talk to him to get clarification, make sure we're saying the same thing. I'm saying what he's saying what I'm hoping that he's saying. But I know that, you know, that we can do some stuff. We can put enough pressure on the judges, the elected officials, and everybody else, and make them do the right thing. But, Catherine, I got to let you go, but I promise you this, I will bring you back at the end.
Let me just ask you this.
Go ahead.
Before you go, like, okay, when this first happened with my son,
mm-hmm.
I asked that the U.S. Board of Education investigate because they illegally removed him from his school.
Uh-huh.
And they, like, kicked the can down to the EEOC because they were saying that he lost his job during the summer, but when he returned to school from the summer, they wouldn't let him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they let him in, they turn around and got another teacher to try to keep him out again. And then after we went for his arraignment, then the teacher called, well, she thought she had a restraining order,
mm-hmm.
of course, but she didn't, and had him removed from his school. He was put on a 72-hour hold, which turned into 5 days in jail on a $40,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
And they got yet to tell us what the $40,000 bond is for. So
wow.
With that, I was asking, is it anything that I know they could have done something, but can any pressure be put on them now, the U.S. Board of Education, to investigate this, even though that was like 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, why don't you call me again once we leave and tell me what you need done, and let's talk about it.
Okay?
Okay,
thank you.
All right, then. Take care. Don't hang up, so I'm going to give you a chance at the end.
Okay, thank you.
Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm just thanking God hearing that wonderful praise report about the emergency managers.
Absolutely. That makes us, everything that had happened there is so tremendous. It's a major victory for the people. And, you know, it's not just Reverend Pinckney working on this. It's other people from Benton Harbor all the way to Detroit, Highland Park, Flint, and Pontiac, all across the state of Michigan and all across the country. It's not just that way. But we want to give them, you know, some of the praises too here. But anyway, let's talk about yourself because you got a few minutes. Go right ahead.
Okay. This week my lawyer turned in my appeal, which goes to the California Court of Appeals. It's out of the Workers' Comp Appeals Courts. So I just need everybody's prayers that they're honest, this court. The judges are finally honest, and they'll do the right thing.
Hey, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you know what? I just got this feeling that you're going to win this thing because I get a lot of emails from the teachers in California, and I tell you, there's a group out there that's really doing some fighting. What you call them, RIPs? The ones that is that the right
RIPs,
word for you?
Right.
Right. They got a group going, and it started with this guy David Garcia. And I remember when I was out there, we talked about this, and the first thing he said when we was in that meeting, he said, "Let's march." That was the first word coming out of his mouth. And then Warren Fletcher said, no, that's not the thing to do. Then when I stood up and had my turn to talk, I said, "That's what we got to do. We got to march." And on that Tuesday, we went down to the school board meeting, and we had them lined up outside marching against the school board. But David Garcia, he got the right idea, but it's just the people. It's just like everything else. The people are not backing him up like they should. If people start backing him up and they see that he writes extremely well. I mean, so his language is so important. And he used what he got to get what he need to get done. But the point is, Rob, if you can find some way to really help him and support him, and y'all help each other, y'all can work together, especially with this other group that be emailing me too. I also contacted them and told them that they should get with David so y'all can become a force. You know what I'm saying?
Right. David emailed me. Mm-hmm. And we all know that UTLA, United Teachers Los Angeles, is in bed with LAUSD, which is one of the worst school districts in the country. They don't do anything. They just collect the teachers' money. Look at Charles Smith. LAUSD,
yes.
He died from the negligence at LAUSD. The fire extinguishers were not secured. How much does that cost?
Wow.
He was sprayed, I was sprayed, my students were sprayed, 180 students in the toxic chemicals 12 years ago.
Mm.
They still have not secured the fire extinguishers.
Wow.
Schools are supposed to be safe and clean and learning educational institutions for students of all colors, and they are just a death trap for everybody. Now, all of a sudden, I see there's a news article. Remember the sexual harassment issue with the former superintendent, Cortinas?
Right.
Who had worked at other school districts?
Mm-hmm.
They made a deal with the Scott Graham. He was supposed to get $200,000 in lifetime medical. The school board made this deal with him, but he never signed it. Well, all of us are smart enough to know that he went on and probably would ask for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have filed for over $10 million suit against the school district.
Wow.
Right. But Charles Smith, who he didn't get any money, I didn't get any money at the end. They offered Dorothy a couple $1,000s in Charles's death. This is unconscionable. It is disgusting. I'm not stopping. As I said last week, we all need to be squeaky wheels to save the school, save people's lives, and to save the country.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct, Roz, and I appreciate the fight, but I'm still looking forward to coming out there. They're trying to make arrangements for me sometime in September. But I, like I said, I got to get to California, and I got to go to Atlanta, and I got to go now, go back down to New Orleans to tackle some of these major issues down there. Then I'm going to sneak over to New York with my good buddy Ralph so we can sit down and maybe have a cup of coffee and relax for just for a second. But look, Ralph, I don't have a whole lot of time left, and I do apologize to you, but I'm going to try to get you back on before the show is over because I got to bring on Libby. Libby, are you there?
Can I just say one more thing? I am going to be on more radio programs, so I thank you and I thank God. And they're also going to do my horror story about workers' comp. Please, everybody, speak up. As I said last week, everybody needs to be the squeaky wheel. We all need to work together. We all need to put the past behind, grab our arms together, and save us, all of us together.
Amen. Way to go. All right, then, Roger. We will be talking. You just hang in there.
Okay.
Libby, are you there?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking at bhbanco.org. Whirlpool merges with government, fascism in Berrien County. M Live and the Herald Palladium report that Benton Harbor St. Joe power players are doing some finagling and switching places. Fascism can be a delicate business at times. Benton Harbor Emergency Manager Joseph Harris says he is in the dark about the state's plan for his job. Will the town move back to local control, or will someone new be appointed and the emergency manager law remains in place? Harris says he's being forced out by political adversaries at Whirlpool. But for the past 2 years, Harris has been working with Whirlpool against the community. He told them live that a meeting of 5 Benton Harbor area, quote, community leaders, unquote, took place in Lansing and sparked the state's desire for transition. Attending the meeting were James Hightower, the appointed mayor, Dave Whitmom, retired Whirlpool CEO. Why is he going if he's retired, by the way?
Right.
Al Pasholka, state rep, Jeff Noel, Whirlpool Vice President of Communication and Public Affairs, and Marcus Robinson, then the President of Consortium for Community Development. That's an arm of Whirlpool. And he's recently fired by Whirlpool. It was a stark example of fascism, government and corporate people making public policy decisions in the state capital, Lansing. Each of these people gave a slightly different reason for the purpose of the meeting. Al Pasholka confirmed that he attended the meeting, but said that meeting and the Fiscal Accountability Act, the emergency manager law, is really not about politics and personalities. Whitwan said the meeting was about trying to understand the transition process to return the city to local control. Noel said, for me, the discussion was more about what can be done to help the city. How do we rebuild the city, create partnerships? Oh, how do you like that? Partnerships. Et cetera.
That's the biggest joke of all.
Yeah, for the city to be self-sufficient. And Mayor Hightower said, my impression was that the meeting was about, well, being the new mayor, we needed to discuss how to reset. Marcus Robinson, recently fired by Whirlpool, said, the Lansing meeting was about bringing the city back to local control, but that was not a reflection on the job that Harris had done. Emergency manager Joe Harris said that Lansing has not brought him into the discussion. He stated that it was, quote, interesting that Pasholka went to Lansing with Noel and Whitwam, and that Whirlpool's fingerprints are all over this. Well, who does Harris think his boss has been for the past 2 years?
Wow.
Harris questions why, if the meeting was about a transition plan back to local government control, he was not included in the meeting. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, he said. I'm trying to figure this out. And we say, right, as if you're just now waking up to what's been going on in Berrien County for decades, which is basically Whirlpool controls everything. Well, one would have to be living in a cave for the past 50 years to be unaware of this, and that Whirlpool controls city and county government, and they're one of the major corporate players dominating the state of Michigan policies and laws. And then we had some comments because somebody put all this on Facebook. And somebody says, wow, he makes himself sound like man of the year or something. Yet he sold property he had no business selling. I'm sure all that joy expressed was by the 1%. And let's see, somebody else said, and Joe Harris thinks he got his job for non-political reasons. Whirlpool wanted him to get that whole city dismantled and sold off by now. No wonder they want him out. He was too slow.
Wow, that's enough right there because we're running out of time. Hey, Libby, just hold on for a second. I want to get Dr. Moore. Dr. Moore, you there?
Yes, I hope I can speak since I listen to your whole show. Glad to hear you, Reverend Pinckney. You know, I'm listening to everybody's problem, and I'm going to tell you what the key is. The key is this. In the state of California, we have 37 million people, and you have 120 state representatives. I think everything is coming from the state level. They're the ones that are enacting all the laws. As long as they're representing 200,000 to 300,000 people, they're going to continue. You can go here, you can go there. It's only going to be a temporary fix. We need to have those districts reduced to be smaller, and we might need to make it whereby they can only represent a certain amount of people. That way, it will give us the control, meaning if they are only representing 20,000 as opposed to 400,000, they can come to us every month, town hall meetings. We can oversee them, and when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, we can vote them out of office. I know what Rozzy's talking about, but Rozzy also knows that our state reps just gave the Los Angeles Superior Court judges 20 years of retroactive immunity. So as long as we're allowing people to represent a million people, even in your state, I don't think you guys have over 120 reps, and you guys, I think, have 13 million people. You've got to reduce these districts. That way we'll give the people control. Everything is starting at the state level. As long as we're allowing these large districts where they can hide behind one another, they're never voted out of office, we're going to be singing the same song.
And you Dr. Moore, you're absolutely correct. But before we start there, we got to start with the people. We got to make sure these folks rise up and do the things that they need to do, because if the people are not there, then we're never going to get anything done.
Wait a minute. I want to invite you. California Women's Think Tank, since you've been here in September, we're having a thing. We're having over 1,000 people. This is what we're going to try to implement. Mary says she's going to do it in Georgia. We would like you to come out and speak. This will be the test ground and show people, because I'll give you an example real quickly. We'll take New Hampshire. They have 1.5 million people. They got 2,000 reps. You very seldom hear anything out of there. South Dakota. You see, when you're able to have a smaller district where people can oversee, you don't have these atrocities. But when you have one person representing a million people, we're going to continue this. This is the problem. And
yeah,
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's beautiful, Dr. Moore. You send me an email with the date and everything, and let me see, can I squeeze it in for you, because I'm definitely coming out to California.
And one more thing I want to say. I want you and your listeners, and you start coming on my shows when you can. I do it Monday through Friday to co-host with me.
Okay. Well, you just send me an email. Let me know when. Let me see. Can I put you right? I'll promise you I'll do it. You got my word. But
yeah, because we need to keep this going. This once a week is good, but we need – you see, the thing is people – repetition. They need to keep hearing it.
That's right.
It's like going to church on Sunday, coming to you, and then Monday through Friday forget till they hear you again. We got to keep it out there. And I think you're doing an outstanding job, and I love you, and thank you for all that you do.
Hey, Dr. Moore, love you too. You just send me an email about – the location and the time of the meeting, and let me see, can I do it at that time? And also, I promise I'll come on your show, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hey, on that note, Ralph Pointer, you there? You got about 30 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires.
Everybody there, Libby, Mary, all of those folks on the program, you are the spark, Reverend, that could turn this whole thing around. I'll cut it short there. See you.
Hey, you know, hey, and Ralph, I want you to let you know that I love you. I love Lynn. I want you to know that we're with you 100%. On that note, Mary, go right ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Well, thank you, Reverend. I just want to make sure you know that Blog Talk really gives you 15 minutes beyond 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Also, I'm looking for an attorney because I'm ready to sue the United States of America, the USDOJ, for disparate treatment, racism, fraud. I want to, I'm sick of being game stalked how and why they killed Larry Hill. I'm ready to sue, and I'm looking for an attorney, and look online for Mary Loves Justice. So please help me get an attorney, otherwise I'm going to sue them pro se, the Obama administration, Department of Justice, for racism, and fraud. You do not help jails get away with murdering my brother and then GameStop me to keep me from telling people, Mr. Holder. Thank you very much, Robert.
Hey, have a good day. Belinda, you're there. Go right ahead.
Yes, Pastor Pinckney. I'm gonna tell you, Pastor Pinckney. It's time. What they're doing down here in Louisiana is so wrong. It's so wrong, Pastor Pinckney. This kind of injustice. I think that Louisiana can be the model for the whole world to see what happens when people stand up and unite together for the changes that we need to stop this kind of injustice.
Well, you know one thing, Belinda, I am going to be there with you, and we're going to make some changes down there, even if some of us have to go to jail, because I'm willing to go to jail to make things change down there and around this country. So you got me. You already know that. So let's start making plans to get me down there, and we can take it from there.
I love you, Pastor Pinckney, and everybody on this phone right now, they're standing up for justice and what's right, that we need to stick together and help each other.
That's right, Belinda, and that's the only way that we're going to do it. And I want you to get in touch with Ron Caesar for me if you can, and at least have him to call me, because I got something that I really want to do down there, and I got some ideas that we're going to put into operation, and I already talked to Ted. Ted got some ideas that we're going to work on, and we're going to work this thing together. But on that note, Belinda, I'm so proud of you. Just keep up the good work. Anytime you need me.
Catherine, to give me a call.
Tell who?
Catherine, to give me a call.
I sure will. I think he's been trying to call you or something. I don't know, but I'll find out why not, okay?
Okay.
All right, then. Catherine, you got about 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Yes, I would like to respond to that. She and I talked. I don't know with everything that's going on if she remembered me, but we talked, and she was telling me about to try to get some other people from this parish,
which
I had told you about before. But, I just can't get them. But I was
well,
going
you know what? What I'll do, I'll come down there, and maybe I can get Ron Caesar, and what we can do, I come out there and speak down there. Maybe people come out, they hear me, you know that I'm coming after you put it out there. We can do it that way. Let's see. And don't worry, we don't get everybody, as long as we get somebody. That's the most important thing.
And another thing, my son will be sentenced on the 14th of this month.
Okay. You make sure you we stay in touch. And let's talk after the show, okay?
Okay.
All right, then. Roz, go right ahead.
I want to thank everybody for standing up. I admire people so much that stand up and speak up. And I know that God is in the midst of this, and I don't want anybody to give up. Dr. Shirley is definitely right about more representatives. Mary has become a wonderful friend. And for the ladies in Louisiana, my prayers are coming your way, and thank you, God, for Reverend Pinckney and Ralph. Reverend Pinckney, we pray for safety. We pray the doors open. We pray for finances for you. We pray your audience grows, that more people will know about you and will become like you, reaching out to everybody with such love and compassion and caring. So we thank you.
Hey, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, too, and let's just hang in there. Dr. Moore, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires.
I just would like for you to work with me and some of the other guys that you mentioned. I really believe that's the key. President Washington said if a representative is representing over 30,000, that's not representation, that's tyranny, and I think it shows today.
Well, you know what, thing? I truly, 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 truly appreciate you. And on the last word today is going to be for my dear friend Ralph. Ralph, I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know this winning this Supreme Court decision on Friday is the first step of a victory that we're going to cherish, and we're going to do all the things that necessary so people can understand exactly what we're trying to do. We had a lot of major victory. We got rid of Marcus Robinson. We got rid of Wendy Des Chester. I think that's how you pronounce the name. And these are Cornerstone, Whirlpool, all their arms. And what we're doing now, we got to continue. We're going to boycott all Whirlpool products, and including KitchenAid, which is what they are counting on right now with the good credit rate. But on that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight, and I got this just for you, Ralph. I got a
All right. Love you, Tracy Chapman. Oh, Lips, Eric, Roz, all of
Ralph, that was for you.
Thank you, Reverend. Love
Tracy
it.
Tracy Chapman, just for you. See, all week I had to look for that for you, just so you could have it. And look, see, I take care of my people.
Okay.
That's for sure. Whatever I can do, you can bet I will do it. And on that note, I just want to say goodnight to everybody, and I think the show was excellent. The ratings are right now are going out of the sky, and I think that we're just doing what we're supposed to do. And more people coming on. I mean, we had a full board. We had almost 40 people just on the board today. And that's, you know, we never have that many. But everybody want to talk. So let's see what we can do, Ralph. Let's go, Rob.
Right on.
Let's go,
right
Mary.
On.
Belinda, let's
thank
do
you.
This. Because I tell you, I'm making plans to get back down there, Belinda. I'm making plans to get to Georgia. I'm definitely coming to California.
You.
And I'm coming to New York to have a coffee with Ralph Pointer.
You got that.
Listen, I want to say goodnight to y'all. Take care, everybody.
Good night. God bless you. God bless you.
Bye.
Good night, all.